Was A Quiet Place inspired by Signs, It Comes at Night, and War for the Planet of the Apes? Was Ready Player One influenced by Avatar, Wreck-It Ralph, and The Last Starfighter? Is The Hurricane Heist more influenced by Sharknado or Geostorm? These are the kinds of questions my guest co-hosts and I discuss on my podcast, Piecing It Together. Every week, we look at a new movie and try to figure out what other movies inspired it, whether it's the story, the character development, tone, or even use of music. Every movie was influenced by something that came before, and we want to figure out what. Check out Piecing It Together on your favorite podcast app or check us out on piecingpod.com. You can also follow us on social media at piecingpod. Piecing It Together is a part of the All Points West Podcast Network.
Hello, this is Lex Kirkendall Barrett. And it is another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel and try to make sense of them. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett. And hello, Jason Bowers.
So, recording on a Saturday because I am out of town once again, and so we really had to juggle and coordinate this,
because
but we're here.
It's Saturday night. More cocktail parties being thrown in Les's honor, I'm sure.
No, this time I'm on a panel.
Oh. Now, what is the theme of the panel?
People
How to
like,
prepare a cocktail party for Les.
Touring artists, like for people who are interested in touring, because I'm actually here at the Minnesota Fringe Festival. And so it's a panel of touring artists to talk to people and tell them, you know, if you want to get started touring, how to do it. Okay. So.
And we have a very limited time frame tonight, correct?
Yes.
We do.
Yes.
We're going to try and do this in an hour, which I think will be a record for us.
Right.
Okay.
But we're going to power through, so maybe we should just jump right into the Black China Report. Here's Kurt.
All right. This is from a couple days ago from Essence Mag. I just messed up already. I'm trying to be a professional.
And now, Black China Report. Here's Kurt.
This is from a couple days ago from Essence Magazine. Black China stuns in short new hairdo. It's not unusual for Black China to switch up her look, but her latest transformation may shock you. We're accustomed to seeing the reality show rock ankle-grazing tresses in a dizzying array of colors. But her latest do... listen, you listen to the show a lot. How often do I say tresses? It's all, just every
ankle-grazing tresses. That's
this is from Essence Magazine. I can't take credit for this. I take credit for the research. But her latest do is a far departure from her lengthy locks. Wednesday, Black China showed off a red short wrap on Instagram, and we're obsessed with the fiery look. China is among a host of celebrities we've seen rocking the hot hair color this season, but her coif... style by J Hairstyles stands out from the crowd with deep finger waves that channel the glamour of the roaring 20s. Earlier this year, China promised to give fans more of herself, and she hasn't come up short when it comes to serving up beauty inspiration.
Now, was this the hairdresser that she had the fist fight with?
Oh, good question. Very good follow-up, yes.
Oh, that is a good question. I don't know. Maybe we'll have to have a follow-up on that.
Yeah, well, this will be an investigative series.
Investigative series, yeah. So we're also trying to follow up. We're trying to get Ellen Barker on the show because Captain Crunch told her to go fuck herself.
Right.
Now, I didn't know Captain Crunch was a real person.
Not Captain Crunch, Captain Kangaroo.
Captain Kangaroo.
Oh, that's... Oh, never mind that. I was curious about Captain Crunch telling her that.
Captain Kangaroo. But
I am dying
to hear that story.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have to get her on the show.
Speaking of stories that we need to hear about. And now, the Lachlan Report. Here's me. Apparently, Olivia Jade is back on Instagram. That's the story. There you go.
Oh, woo! Oh. Welcome back. Yeah. My life is now
quick
complete.
Stories.
Olivia Jade is back.
It's an abbreviated
Instagram.
Show. Good.
Okay, so let's get started.
This complex movie.
My Stepfather's Secret, which, I mean, and I was actually surprised in a good way, because
the version you found on YouTube was intact for the entire movie.
That too. That too. And it was a movie from 2019, no less.
Yeah.
It's a Lifetime movie, if you can't tell from the title.
And he had a secret, all right, the stepfather.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. Okay, so we see a city, and we see a man. He's on the phone. He's talking to his kid. He tells her that he's going to bring her home rocks, which plays into the movie later.
Not the rock, like actual like rocks, like geology.
No.
Oh, I'd want someone to bring the rock home to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah? Bring home rocks. Boy. Every child wants to get rocks. That's great. I got a rock.
So, of course, okay, so he's working at night in an office alone. So you know something bad's going to happen.
Yes.
No, with no lights. He had very little light.
And that typical Lifetime thing of the shaky camera, you could tell they're being watched by somebody. So you know something's up.
Right. Exactly. You know that this dad is not long for this world.
So
he's talking to someone, and they're talking about, you know, we should meet face to face. And then he gets up, and all of a sudden the camera like focuses to this little thing. It looked like a fob or a key or something.
Yeah, it's like a little USB drive, essentially.
Right. Yeah.
By the way, it was around this point where I noticed on the screen in the credits that Kevin Sizemore is in this. Do we know if he's related to Tom Sizemore?
Is he?
And what would it be like? It's bad enough to be like the brother of Tom Hanks, but at least you get the benefits of like, my brother is Tom Hanks. But like, if you're Kevin Sizemore, you're like, yeah, I'm Tom Sizemore's brother.
The Sizemore family is truly an acting dynasty at this point.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it really is. That,
yeah, that's sad. You got to sit there during Thanksgiving and change the subject, not talk about the movies you're doing.
Like he's like, oh, yeah, and I'm on a very good movie, My Stepfather's Secret. It's a tour de force.
This one's going to be the Emmy.
Oh, okay, so then of course, a burglar comes in, and he pulls a gun on Dad, and he shoots Dad, and then Lifetime like busted out a visual effect with the gun.
The bullet was coming right out.
Yeah. Like to go into the opening credits in the movie. Yeah.
Right. I was like, okay, this is good. You go, Lifetime.
Yeah. They bought a computer.
Right.
They did. A bullet came right at us. I put on 3D glasses.
I paused the movie and took my computer to an IMAX theater just so I could watch it in there and feel like I was watching it on the big screen.
It's nice of them to let you use their facilities.
Yeah.
Now, I thought the dad looked like a young Sam Shepard.
I could see that.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. So then Dad is dead, and then we cut to 9 years later.
Why was he
on a roof? Like he was walking away from somebody. He did know someone was behind him, but then why was he on a roof? Was his car parked on the roof?
I thought that was weird too, because he knew he was being followed, and he seemed uncomfortable with it. So he was heading upwards towards the roof instead of like down and out of the building.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know.
But he's dead now.
I see dead people.
Yes.
Yay.
He's dead.
By the way, 20th anniversary of that movie this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God, that was only 20 years ago?
Really? Oh,
yeah. Geez.
1990, 1999. Did you guys know the secret when you of the movie? Like, did you know the twist when you went to see it, or was it a surprise?
I figured it out about 15 minutes before they revealed it in the movie. Like, I knew there was a twist, so I was sort of like, my antenna were up looking for it, and I was like, oh, I think it's this, and then it was.
Right.
Okay. Well, so right. You felt less? That was your experience?
I didn't know it was a twist.
Okay.
Les has not seen the movie yet.
Oh, I know. I've seen it.
Oh, some people haven't. I did not know. I did not know. The Crying Game was a surprise for me,
Kurt.
Too.
He had big hands.
Well.
And an Adam's apple. So,
yeah.
Well, so do I. But I guess I'm a guy. That's a bad example. No, I didn't know. Uh-oh, boy, I better be careful.
Always look for an Adam's apple.
Yeah.
But yeah. I knew, like, Crying Game, I knew in, like, the first 2 seconds what the secret
that
was.
That one I had heard or read about it before I went.
And when I saw that, I was thinking, is that the best you could do? I know some people in West Hollywood who would have done a much better job.
Yeah.
A much more convincing job.
Yeah.
So what happened was Jay Davidson was a ghost then, right?
that's a different movie.
That's my joke for tonight. Okay.
Oh, okay. So anyway, so it's 9 years later. We are at UC Berkeley. So she's smart. She's got some smarts.
Yeah.
So
you know this isn't a Hallmark movie because it's a super liberal school she's going to.
Right. Right.
Oh.
And so we see the young lady, Bailey. Her name is Bailey, and Bailey's packing her stuff. And she has rocks. Mm-hmm. And so then she calls her mom to tell mom, you know, I'm on my way. And then she calls her friend Thea. Oh, no, her friend calls her Thea. And Thea is very sassy.
Yeah.
Thea actually really is the sassy black friend.
She really was, and I was there for it. I liked her.
Yes.
She was very sassy. And so they're talking, and this is where we find out that Bailey was supposed to go on some kind of geology trip over the summer.
At the Grand Canyon.
But they didn't have enough, like, they couldn't afford to send her, so she couldn't go. So she was coming home for the summer instead, and then she and Thea were going to go to her dad's cabin. And this is where we find out that actually Bailey has had a breakup this past year with Anders.
Who's adorable.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was cute.
Yes. And so Anders...
But like high school cute. Like, if I were in high school, I would have been all about that. Like, he's super young-looking, like, baby-faced.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So she goes home, and her mom shows up, and her mom is Brenda Barrett from General Hospital.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, her real name is, what is her name? Oh, Vanessa Marcel.
Oh, that was Vanessa Marcel?
Yeah, that was Vanessa Marcel.
I haven't seen her in a long time, so I didn't realize that was her.
But yes, on General Hospital, she was Brenda Barrett. And so she was in a love triangle with Sonny Corinthos, the mobster, and Jax, the venture capitalist.
I know who Sonny is.
Hmm.
Was there another I'm thinking of Carly. In my tour de force performance on General Hospital, my scene was with Carly.
Your scene was with Carly number 3.
Mm-hmm. Carly and Jackie, actually. Oh, I thought she was number 2.
Okay.
Okay, it was Carly number 2 because then Carly number 3 didn't work out.
Yeah, I'm doing a podcast.
That's my mom because I'm at my parents' house, yeah.
Oh, invite her on.
I'm doing the podcast.
Did she watch the movie with you?
Okay. No, I don't. In my room, I'm doing the podcast.
Okay, she said okay, good.
Did she watch the movie with you this time? Like, last time she was over?
I just watched it on my phone.
Oh, man. I would love to have had her on.
Right? Because, you watched a Lifetime movie with your mom before, right?
Yeah, and she had opinions.
Yeah, we did, yeah. Yeah, and I shared her comments throughout the throughout the show. I told her I'm doing a podcast, but she said she doesn't know like what a podcast is. So I kind of, I don't think I explained it well.
We
so she didn't
her.
Know what was happening. She thought I just went to bed.
Oh, okay. So, not only is her mother Brenda Barrett, but Brenda Barrett, no relation to Les Kirkendall Barrett, but Brenda Barrett is playing like weird music. She's blasting like weird.
Oh, yeah.
It was the most terrible workout music I've ever heard. Like, they clearly didn't want to pay for the rights to anything we'd actually know. That's fine. But, like, whoever got to pick the production music for that scene did a terrible job.
Right.
Well, she never worked out before. Like they said, like she's never like exercised or do any kind of self-help or anything before. So she's just breaking into this exercise music.
The way they were talking about her, it was like she was a like off my 600-pound life or something. Like she was in very good shape.
She was a very attractive woman.
Yeah.
So, and she's on the exercise bike, and my first thought was, uh-oh, mom's met a man because she's worked out. And then...
hasn't given up.
So then and she's not even that old.
She's a very attractive woman.
40. Oh, so then, you know, she sees mom, and then mom is like, oh, let's go to a vegan restaurant. And I'm like, oh, mom's really met a man.
Yeah.
So they go to this vegan restaurant, and then, like, you know, Bailey's kind of like, mom, when did you become a vegan? And she's like, oh, actually, I'm a vegetarian. I'm not a vegan. And so then she sits down, and mom fesses up. She met a man.
Yeah.
And then this guy shows up. He was very handsome. Very handsome man shows up. Bailey thinks he's the waiter, but he's not the waiter. He's Hugo, mom's new boyfriend. And I wrote, hubba hubba.
Mm. Have you ever seen the musical Bye Bye Birdie?
Yeah.
There's a character in there named Hugo, and they sing his name in one of the songs where they say, have you heard about Hugo and Kim? And every time they would say his name, that's all I could think of.
That's Hugo.
Hugo.
Hugo. But Hugo was cute. But his cuteness didn't last long.
No. Well, they start explaining how they met, and their meet-cute involves a honeydew melon.
Yes.
They met in a grocery store. She dropped the honeydew melon, and he picked it up. And then he had advice for her. He mansplained the honeydew
melon. Right, he really did.
And then like, mom leaves, got a flat tire, and he was just magically there and helped her change the tire, which was a plot point in that stripper movie we watched a few weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah, this seems to be the MO for these people.
It's almost like they have like lotto balls with like plot points they can use, and they just pick six of them, and they have to work them into the movie somehow.
Right.
Hey, stalker out there, this seems to work. It seems to work, guys.
So she meets Hugo, and she's like, well, yeah, Hugo helped me with my melons. Oh, and we're getting married on Saturday.
On Saturday. Yeah. And he's a health living consultant. Health living.
And so of course Bailey is pissed, but then I wrote down, I personally cannot judge a person for getting married after knowing a person for months.
I don't judge mom for getting married after a couple of months. I do judge mom for springing this on her daughter days before the wedding, when the only man that has ever been in the daughter's life is her dead dad.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I don't think mom is well.
No.
No. No.
No. In fact, the whole movie, she doesn't seem particularly well.
No, she does not.
Well, we'll find out why later.
Yes. So then we go home, we go back to the house, and apparently mom has moved Bailey's stuff out of her room.
Which is odd. So he's sleeping in he has his own room.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's using it as an office Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
I think as an office, and what's funny about that is they say like, oh, he's been storing his clothes in there or something. And so the way they're talking about it, it sounds like, oh, they're like in tight quarters. It's like a small apartment. But they show exterior shots of the house, and it's a giant house.
It was a craftsman home.
Yeah.
Right.
And so
he's using her computer.
Yes.
It's weird. He doesn't have like his own computer.
And okay. it's like an old computer that her dad gave her.
Yeah.
It was her dad's computer.
At no point in the movie did they ever reference the fact that a computer that is 9 years old probably wouldn't be that much use to anyone. But they were talking about it like it was like Bailey's computer, and that's what she did everything on.
Mind if I use your word processor? I have to do an AOL chat tonight.
Right.
I'd like to borrow your print shop capabilities and your dot matrix, please.
And get off the phone so I can use the computer.
May I use your Etch-a-Sketch? I have to design a website tonight. Anyway.
So then Bailey has a flashback of when she was a little girl and there were police lights at the house. And then she has a flashback of her playing her computer with her dad. And then the next scene, she goes out to breakfast with her mother, and then her mom is like, don't tell Hugo I'm eating eggs. Don't tell him.
Oh, I made a note. I don't like pouring sounds. There's one point where she's pouring a smoothie, and I just made a note that I don't like pouring sounds.
What do you think it is?
I don't like that sound. I don't know. I don't like that noise. So I just wanted to add that.
One more time. Just give us the sound again.
It's okay. It doesn't have much to do with the narrative of the movie. It's just, you know, just one of those things.
So
I know we're trying to keep things tight. Okay.
So the mom. So Brenda Barrett just tells Bailey that she wants to be happy, right? And so then Bailey goes to the garage, and there's, like, all this shit in the garage. There's, like, all these boxes. And
it's
Bailey's
blocking
like,
your car.
What the hell? Yeah, you blocked my car in. And so he says, oh, well, you know what? Just use my car. Just take my car. And so then she goes, she meets Thea, her sassy black friend Thea, for coffee. And so they're having coffee, and then, oh, my gosh, what a surprise. Anders shows up, and he was trying really hard, but she was not having it at all. And then we find out that the reason why Bailey's pissed is because they were supposed to go to college together, and he backed out of it so that he could stay back in town and work. But I guess from what I gathered, he couldn't. It sounded like he couldn't afford it.
Right. Which, when they revealed this, because, like, they made it sound like she was mad at him for not going to school with her, and then you find out the reason why is, like, oh, he had to, like, work because he can't afford to go to college. It makes her into a monster immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of weird. And she said she actually dumped him, but she said no, he dumped her by saying that he's not going to go to college with her.
Yeah.
So that's a weird...
He basically said, hey, I have a problem. She gave him the finger, and now she's mad at him because he didn't take the finger.
Right.
Right.
And it was, you know, and for once in these movies, it actually was a total legit reason.
Yeah.
This is when I fell in love with Thea the friend, because, like, he totally, like, botched up the reunion, and so then Bailey storms out, and Thea turns to Anders and is like, you need to recollect this on the mess that you made. You're a mess.
Right. And he's like, I know.
In this scene, they keep referencing the dad's cabin. And I wrote down, why don't they, if they've got this giant ass house in Southern California, and they have another house, this cabin. Why, if they're having money problems where she can't go to geology camp, why can't they just sell the cabin? Why do you need another house?
Well, how much is that cabin worth, though?
Enough to send her to geology camp.
Oh, the cabin was a shithole.
No.
It's still property in Southern California.
If you had a cabin, like, up in Maine or something like that, that's not worth that much.
Let's say it was in Big Bear, California.
Pennsylvania, you have some cabin. That's not...
The land, in California, the land would be worth something.
That would be worth money.
On the low end, on the conservative low end, we're looking at, like, $100,000 or $200,000, right?
Really? Okay.
California.
In California. Okay.
Yeah. So Bailey, you know, storms out and she starts driving home, and then she realizes that somebody is following her, and like they're like right on her ass as she's driving, which I hate. I hate it when people do that.
Yeah. Right. Riding your ass.
And she's in Hugo's Prius, which has like a big logo for his spiritual life coaching or whatever inside.
I think it's got a picture of him on the car. Yeah.
And so she's like, you know, what the hell? And then the car like cuts her off. And this mean bald guy gets out of the car. He walks up to the car, but then he looks in the window and realizes that it's her. He's like, oh, sorry. Wrong person, and just like walks away and leaves.
I do love the sort of "oh my bad" attitude that he had in that moment. Like, "oh, I almost murdered you. Oops."
Yeah, he's like, "I thought we'd have a chat." Oh, never mind. I said he was a young Mike Ehrmantraut.
Oh, I wrote too that Hugo is an expert gaslighter because he totally like gaslights a lot.
Yeah.
So she goes home and says, you know, some guy like cut me off and followed me, and they're kind of like, oh, Bailey, it's
so
fine.
He has a solution. No more borrowing the car with my face on it.
Right. Like, this is your fault.
Wow.
And so then like he talks about, oh, my shakes are here. So I guess he's going to be like peddling shakes. And so I guess that's what was in the boxes in the garage.
Yeah, when he said that, I was hoping that instead of this movie being about murder, that it instead was going to be about like getting sucked into some sort of pyramid scheme.
Right, like
that would be good.
Yeah.
Just like, what was that, Herbalife or something?
Yeah, something like that. Like, yeah, like an Amway or whatever. Not that either of those are pyramid schemes, just they are perceived by many as some.
We'll take you as sponsors.
Yes.
So, Amway.
I don't think Herbalife is open anymore, are they?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Not sure.
I don't think so. Oh, okay, so then it's the wedding, and their wedding vows were, like, horrible.
Also, did you notice that the wedding was in the middle of the street?
I noticed that.
They didn't just have it at the house or at the house on the lawn. It was literally in the middle of the street with a gazebo and everything.
Yeah. And it was on a Saturday, so I guess it was very likely the mail carrier could be interrupting the wedding at any moment. It was right in front of their house.
And so the vow, like their vows, is he was like, I was a link looking for a chain.
And, I was alone and adrift.
And Theo was like, okay, these metaphors need work.
Yeah, and then he throws the bouquet like right into Bailey's arms, just pushes it into her.
Right. And then a gift shows up.
Before that... He's there talking to Bailey, and they're having like a tense moment, and he like tries to fix her posture, and he sticks his hand on his lower back, and she kind of flinches and is super creeped out, as she should be, saying like, get your hands off of me. And the mom, of course, is defending Hugo, not her daughter, who's like, hey, this dude is just touching me inappropriately now.
Yeah,
right.
And then he says, I'm sorry I invaded her personal space.
Right.
Yeah. And the mom doesn't care.
The mom's stigmatized.
Yeah.
So she's not thinking clearly.
Hmm.
Oh, and so then a gift shows up, And it's a clock. It's an alarm clock. So.
And it wasn't like one of the guests that brought it. Like somebody dropped it off at the house and gave it to Thea.
Nah.
Yeah. And so basically it was kind of like time's a ticking, you know, get cracking. Hugo.
That's what it was, because I was wondering, like, what's this clock? That's the whole idea of the clock was. It's
I think so, yeah. Because he was super weird. Out. Like, he opened up the box and like he almost turned white. Like he was like, whoa, no, why?
Very weak.
Why is this coming?
Yeah. So then it's like after dinner or whatever. They're washing dishes. Oh no, they're at dinner. And
no. No, at this point they're cleaning.
Oh, Bailey, okay, the friend, so they're cleans. Washing dishes.
Yeah, she says there is no honeymoon because Hugo is busy.
Right.
And then Hugo's walking around on the phone outside, and they kind of duck to hide. That was pretty much it.
Yeah. So then they're at dinner, and she has a phone at the, like, she's texting or something, and then Hugo is like, no phones at the dinner table, and she's like, since when? And then the mom sides with Hugo.
No, I think it was the other way around. I think the mom said it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mom said it.
Oh, okay, so yeah. Oh, and then, so mom said it, and then Bailey's like, since when? You know, you've never had a problem with this before.
Mm-hmm.
And then, who said this is my house? Did Hugo say this is my house?
No, I think
Hugo said this is our house, or something like that.
Right.
Bailey says it's half of her house, which she has a point because I guess, well, it depends. If they all inherited the house, then she probably has half the house.
Yeah. Right. However, when that moment happened, I think Hugo was just trying to like back up mom, be like, hey, you know, we're just trying to have a nice dinner in our home or something along those lines. And Bailey's like, no, not your home.
Right. And then
I usually wouldn't side with a daughter, but this time I was.
Uh-huh.
I think it was rude to have the phone out at the table. I agree with that in concept. But I also feel like, hey, Hugo, you're new here. You shouldn't overstep on, like, what belongs to whom.
And then he tried to take her phone. See, that's where he overstepped, too. He's like, give me your phone. And she's like, no, I'm not giving you my phone. Come on.
Nah.
Which I don't blame her.
Right.
But then, so then they cut to, like, she's in her room. She's getting ready for bed or whatever. So she goes to the shower. And when she gets out of the shower, she comes out and her phone is gone.
It's gone,
I wrote, these people get an A+ in gaslighting.
Yeah. She wouldn't give the phone to her mom. Her mom wanted to take the phone earlier. Right. That's what I have in my notes. But this time somebody snuck upstairs and just got the phone while she was in the shower.
Yeah. Right. And so she goes downstairs, and so she's like, Mom, where's my – have you seen my phone? And the mom is, like, being a bitch, and the mom is, like, you know – oh, and then I wrote, her mother is double dickmatized.
She's being massaged.
Yeah, and she's like, hee-hee-hee. And so they basically just ignore her. But then
I like
the
that
next,
laugh.
But then the next day, she wakes up, and the phone is like, on the ground –
yeah, like, it made to look as if it had fallen off the desk and she just didn't notice it.
Right. And then, so she actually goes to the desk and actually kind of sees if the phone were to fall, would it fall in the space that it fell in? Mm-hmm. So then she knows something's up, right? And then she realizes that, like, someone's been messing with her webcam.
Yeah.
You know? And so she's pissed. She goes to her mom and she's like, Mom, your husband's a creep. You know? And then her mom says
this point. I wrote down this quote. You don't have to be You don't have to be texting and taking selfies as an occupation. You have a brain.
Right. And then, but her mom is acting weird. Like, her mom's acting like she's stoned or something. And so then she's like, Mom, have you been drinking? And then the next scene, like, Hugo shows up in, like, a field. and then
that's what E.T. did.
Before, so we mom's having the weird brain farts. Then Bailey gets a text later.
Oh,
it's like another scene, right. And she got a text from her mom, like, "Hey, let's go for a run." She shows up, and Hugo's there in the field, and,
right?
And he claims, like, "Oh, I guess your mom set this up so we could have some alone time and get to know each other."
Right. And so then they decide they go running, and they're actually kind of being a little competitive with each other.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, Hugo kind of challenges her and basically calls her out of shape too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and he's mean. He's like, "So your dad didn't? Your dad wasn't big on exercise,
right?
That'll win her over."
And so then,
he's like, "My dad's dead. That's gonna help. Was it gonna
right?
do push-ups with me?"
Yeah, the only exercise he's getting is rolling over in that grave right now.
So then they go running, and then when they're done running, they're getting ready to walk back to the car, and then they see, like, a weird car drives up to their cars. And then Hugo looks really freaked out and like, "Oh, I'm going to continue running," and, like, runs away.
Now, how did he know who was in the car? Because his car, people know he's in it because his face is on it. But not everybody's car has their face plastered on it.
Right.
Well, we'll soon find out that he knew who was in the car.
Right.
And oh, Bailey looks down and recognizes it as the guy that ran her off the road.
Yeah. Right.
Look, I was trying to make a joke about faces on cars. Faces on cars. Faces so then, look distant. I know, we only have an hour. Okay.
Oh, so then Bailey goes home, and she's like, "Mom, you're being weird. You've been acting weird. And then we cut to Bailey's bedroom, and he's in Bailey's bedroom, like, folding her underwear.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Get out. What are you doing touching my underwear?"
Yeah, he's got boundary issues, this guy. Jeez.
So then she goes to Anders' house, her ex-boyfriend.
And first he says, he says, "Hey, the workout weirdo has to go."
Oh, yeah, that's like, right.
Wait a minute. She called him a workout weirdo in a text.
Yeah. He's like, "Oh, the workout weirdo has to go." And we had seen a text earlier that she sent to Fee referring to him as the workout weirdo. So we immediately know, oh, he definitely saw the phone.
So she goes to Anders, who I guess is like a computer whiz.
He's working at he's working on like an arcade game.
Yeah, like 80s yeah. arcades.
Yeah, I don't know. Centipede or something like that. When a centipede so like, is hot. Right. Sorry.
Centipede is hot.
So then she's like, Jackson. Oh, here we
yeah,
go.
There you
she's
go.
Like, "Anders, you know, could my stepdad be hacking my phone? What's going on?" And then Anders checks it out. And Anders is like, "Oh, my God. Not only is he hacking your phone, he can see everything that goes on, that happens on your phone, like everything." And so then she's like, "Okay, Anders, let's check this guy out." And so then Anders does a little digging, and Anders finds out that, see, when she asked him earlier about his business, he said he hadn't been in the business that long. But when Anders looks at the business had actually been up for 4 years. And so then, is this when she goes through his stuff, the dad's stuff?
Yeah, she goes in the garage. Now it's nighttime. And Anders is no longer there. He's back to fixing Qbert.
Yeah, but she's not looking through the dad's stuff. She's looking through Hugo's stuff.
Right. Now it's right. She's in the garage. She's in the garage. And she's looking at Hugo's boxes.
Right.
And she finds a fitness boot camp brochure, but then Hugo enters the garage and he just looks around and she hides on the floor.
Yeah, and a bad hiding job at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she pulls it off. I wrote, it's easy to take notes. Watching this movie, it was like, we watched one movie a couple weeks ago where it was like hard to take notes. Things are very quick.
Yeah.
This one is easy to take notes because there's people just standing around.
A lot of hiding, a lot of gaslighting.
Right.
Yeah, I actually was doing laundry. Like, I was folding laundry while I was watching this movie, and I was able to, like, take notes and still fold laundry and get it all done.
I was folding a woman's underwear.
Beat me to the joke. Damn it.
I was folding a woman's underwear, and then I looked up and I saw, oh, maybe this is inappropriate. There we go. What was your joke, Jason?
Same thing I was going to say. I was folding Bailey's underwear.
Oh, so then they're making smoothies. And he's making smoothies, and this is where we find out that Hugo is drugging Brenda Barrett.
Yep.
He's drugging he's putting the drugs in the smoothies. And so then, and this is when I really started to like Bailey, because she was not messing around. So he's like, they're like, Bailey, do you want a smoothie too? And she says yes. And then he has he's getting ready to put the drugs into her smoothie. And she's like, what's that powder? You know, what is that? And then the mom is like, oh, it's for my cramps. And then Bailey, this is when I started to like her. Bailey's like, you have this powder in a bag and there's no label on it. That's kind of weird. And then they start talking, and Bailey starts asking them questions. You know, how long have you been doing fitness? And he says 5 years. And she says, oh, well, he's like, I worked at fitness clubs. And she's like, which ones?
His vague response was so funny because he said, oh, well, you know, I worked at the big three. And I'm like, in the fitness world, which gyms do they largely recognize as the big three?
Right. What? So Equinox, maybe? Crunch.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Like, Bally's and LA Fitness merge, so so maybe LA Fitness is one of the big ones. It's 24
right.
hours.
New York Sports Club. Yeah. Wait, why are we promoting these gyms?
Planet Fitness.
Give us money.
Because maybe they want to sponsor our show.
Maybe.
Just give them free
We're happy to have you.
Well, once they all see a spike in membership and they'll know that it came from a Lifetime of Hallmark podcast, then they'll know that, oh, we should have mentions on that show every week.
Oh, give me a free gym membership, somebody out there, and I'll go. I'll seriously go, and we'll do like a before and after.
And I will drink some of Brenda's smoothies on a Saturday night when I'm ready to go out.
Right.
If anyone wants me to fold their underwear, I will do it for a price.
Okay, so Bailey and her mom have a fight, right? They get in a fight, and then Bailey's mom is like, your father was a failure. And Hugo's eavesdropping on this whole thing.
Yeah.
And Bailey busts him, right? And so then she goes to her boyfriend. She goes to Anders. And
she calls him creepy. She calls him creepy, and he goes, you're creepy. Nah, 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 nah.
Right? So then she enlists Thea and Anders to help her, and they become the Scooby Gang, basically.
And the way they enlisted him was amazing, because they just, like, Anders is, like, skateboarding along the sidewalk, and Fee and Bailey come driving up in this, like, VW Bug, and like, they just open up the door. They're like, hey, do you want to join us? I forget how they worded it, but it was basically like, do you want to join us in this scheme? And he basically shrugged, picked up a skateboard, and got in the back of the car.
Right.
Let's do it.
So then they go to the beach. So they follow him to the beach, and then while they're at the beach, he's like chatting with the bald guy, and so we find out that Hugo is in big trouble.
But we find out because they do a little bit of phone trickery.
Yes.
As they said in the SNL Gap Girl sketch years ago, phone trickery. He goes, the boy Anders, he skateboards by them, and he puts a cell phone, like, way far on the ground from them. And yet, they're listening in the van. The sound quality that they can hear, it's better than what you hear on this podcast.
Yeah. Right.
It wasn't way far. It, really, it was, yeah, at their feet. It wasn't way far away.
Okay. Our sound quality's good.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so then we find out that Hugo is in trouble, and Hugo owes some people some money.
You are in trouble. Yes. And then Mike Ehrmantraut, I call him Mike Ehrmantraut, if he doesn't get his money, he needs his money to pay them. And if them don't get paid, them's going to be trouble.
Right.
Who do you think them is?
The mob.
Because we never really find out.
Right.
Who that money is for. Like, who it's going to go to.
Well.
So then what happened next?
They go to the cabin. They decide that, like, they're on the way to the cabin. They decide to let Anders come. They're head of the cabin, and they're talking about, like, we got to tell mom, like, how are we going to do it? Because we can't go to the house because he's there. So they're going to call mom and tell her there's an emergency, and she's got to come to the cabin.
Right.
And then once she's there, then they'll tell her about Hugo.
Right.
Okay. But then there's a dinner. There's a quick dinner scene of Hugo, the mom, and Bailey eating. And they're not really eating. They're just kind of picking at kale. It happens. But, yeah, then they arrive at the cabin. Yeah.
Then they go to the cabin, and then this is where – but then the mom doesn't show up. Right?
They call the house to talk to mom, and Hugo's like, oh, she's not here. She's at – fitness camp or something. Like
right. That. Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. She's at a fitness camp.
Fitness camp.
And it's your fault because she's so stressed out about us fighting that.
She must get better. Yeah.
So she's gone to this fitness camp for 10 days. And then Bailey's like, oh, crap. I'm like screwed.
Well, she calls him out. She says, there's something in the shakes. And he's like, there's nothing in the shakes.
So then they really want to get down to business, right? And so this is how – is this where they meet the Asian guy?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Before that, they're at the cabin, and Bailey finds her old treasure box from when she was a kid, and she's, like, looking at that. They try calling mom. That's when Hugo talks about the boot camp, and then they go find the Asian guy.
Right. So his name was Misaki. Right?
Hiro Mizaki, yeah.
And so we find out that his dad and Bailey's dad used to work together. And his dad hired Bailey's dad, and so then there was money in an e-wallet, right? And it
basically his dad hired Bailey's dad to create a cryptocurrency.
Right.
And then they start explaining all this cryptocurrency stuff in the middle of this Lifetime movie. And I'm pretty tech savvy, and I was completely lost.
I was confused, too. And I wanted to pay attention because I've got an email saying that I have to provide Bitcoin for somebody has film, a web camera film of me masturbating to pornography.
To pornography or to women's underwear?
Very intently.
Right.
Well, what's the difference?
Were you filming it?
So it was. I was masturbating to a film of someone folding. So I have to provide Bitcoin, like $2,000 Bitcoin, or people are going to find out that I'm doing this. This is going to be humiliating if anybody knows about this.
Yeah, terrible.
Okay.
It's so humiliating that you just talked about it in a podcast.
See, but you guys haven't got that email. This is a spam email.
I've heard of it. I've heard about it.
I just blew the joke. Okay, good.
Then, long story short, there's money. There's money in this e-wallet, but then there's a code. But you only have like three times to get the code wrong.
So why are they saying that they could take 10 years to figure out the So you could take 10 years to figure out the code, but because you only have three tries.
What that was, and this is, again, it was like getting really, really in the weeds
here.
I was
confused. Yeah.
10 years is – it's a four-digit code. And so it was suggested, like, well, why not just, like, punch in every combination of four digits possible? And it was pointed out that, first of all, you only have three tries, but even if you didn't have only three tries, it would take 10 years to get through all of those combinations if punched in manually.
So it doesn't matter if it's 10 years. Lifetime. I'm not Elon Musk here. I don't know. I don't understand. You lost
me. They were trying to tell us it was going to be really hard.
I kind of get it.
Right.
I kind of get it. Okay, there we go.
Now, at this point, I was
really liking it.
I was really liking this movie, though, because it's like the kids were like smart. Like the kids were smart about stuff. Mm-hmm.
They understood.
Like nobody was getting caught. Like, you know, they were pulling a really good caper. See, Kurt, this is the example of the caper. These kids.
Right.
So then, Bailey's talking to Anders. But they're talking in front of her computer, so then Hugo is like listening on the web, watching.
This was amazing because she had put up, knowing that her webcam was like she was being spied on. She put a post-it over the camera, which is really smart.
Yeah.
So as she's sitting there in front of the computer with Anders discussing this entire plan, they show that there's two post-its now that are, like, put at an angle so that the camera is clearly exposed. How the hell did she not notice that?
Right. Well, she was, you know, she had a lot on her mind.
Yeah.
She had a lot on her mind. So then they figured, so then, like, Anders goes to find her mother, right? And so Bailey's at the cabin, and then Hugo shows up, right?
Yeah.
And because he followed Bailey there. So he's at the door, she's locked herself in, and so then she starts talking to him, and then what she does is she puts her phone on speaker, because she has her mom on the phone, and first her mom's like, okay, come on, Bailey. Grow up, you're being dumb. And then she puts the phone on speakerphone and puts it on the ground. And so even though Hugo is outside talking to her through a shut door, the mom can hear him perfectly.
Right. And she's saying, I hear Hugo.
This movie was a great ad for the microphones in iPhones.
I tell you, we have to invest in this. We have to call these people and see what kind of sound.
I'm gonna send them money in Bitcoin right now to invest.
So then I love the fact that Hugo is confessing and the mom is like yelling at him.
I hear Hugo.
She's like, you're disgusting. And like the mom is totally yelling at him. And So then Bailey, meanwhile, sneaks out, right? And she sneaks into the car. She's getting ready to drive away, but then Hugo catches her. He pulls a gun on her. But then Mom and Thea show up, right? And so he has Bailey hostage. Like, he has the gun on, you know, don't get too close or I'm going to shoot her, blah, 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 blah. And then the mom's like, no, no, shoot me, shoot me. And then...
And he does. And then
he does.
He shot her.
Yeah, he did.
He shoots her.
That was the one moment of genuine shock. I'm like, oh my God, he actually shot her.
But by accident, kind of.
No, it was...
Bailey get behind him?
No, well, daughter, Bailey, was like kind of... Mom basically egged him on to shoot her, and he did. And when he did that, she had a chance to, like, elbow him in the gut and get away from him.
Yeah.
But
and then
Mom,
in a very literal
sense, took a bullet so Bailey could get away.
Right. And then Anders shows up, Bailey has the gun, right? Then Anders hits him, And then he, like, he goes unconscious, but then he wakes up.
Of
and
course.
He grabs Bailey and he starts, like, strangling him.
Right.
But no, well, yeah, he grabs
he's
Anders. He grabs
Anders. Yeah, strangling Anders, yeah.
And then Bailey has the gun. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'll use it. And so then he's, you know, so then it's like, you know, it's the end almost. And so then, is this where they figure out how to open it?
Yeah, so like every Lifetime movie, they cut ahead a little bit in time to show the like where these characters are now in the aftermath of all the crap that's happened in the movie. And they start discussing, like, well, what could the code be? We only have 3 shots to get this. And Bailey's like, well, oh, she found something in the her treasure box or whatever. And she had this memory of Dad always telling her, you've got to save for the future. And so they
right.
realized, like, the money was for her college fund. So she thinks ahead, that, like, well, what would be a date in the future? Oh, this would be the year that I started school. So they put in that year, and it opens the thing.
Right away. Don't you think they would have done it, like, at least had some, you know, suspense? You got it wrong, and she got it wrong in the last. No, they just got it right away.
Right.
She gets $3 million, so she can go to school for 1 semester and pay the student activities fee for 1 month.
Yes.
But you know what she does? And I was like, aw, because then she, with her $3 million, not only is she going to college, she's paying for Thea and Anders' college as well.
Which I thought was nice, but I thought was completely out of left field preachy about income equality when this movie was not about that at all up until the very last beat of the film.
Right.
Man, with that kind of money, I would buy a hooker.
Oh, that's really sweet. That's like nesting hookers. Like nesting dolls?
You know, it's a lot of people don't know. I'm very generous.
A hooker.
No. I said I would buy a hooker.
Uh-huh. He would buy a hooker for a hooker. That's why I call them nesting hookers.
Yeah. That's why they call me a philanthropist.
I guess. And that
I always assume that's why.
And that was it.
No, that wasn't it. The very, very last moment of the film was one of the cheesiest things I've ever seen, and I wanted to throw my computer out the window.
What?
Like, after they got all preachy about income equality, and the kids are all, like, happy that, like, they're all going to go to college together now, they all look up to the sky to thank the dead dad. They literally look up and they're like, thanks, Dad. It was so cheesy.
Les likes this too much. Les is in a good mood.
I like this movie, actually.
I didn't hate it, but that last moment, I was like, ugh. You had me up until that moment.
Les is an unusually good mood. I think he just got laid or something because... He's really...
Well, no, because then...
Did Kurt buy you a hooker?
I'd be in a little trouble because my husband's back in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So that did not happen.
We don't want to reveal the deepest secret. No, that's true. Okay. Sorry, I got... Okay, here we go.
So I liked it.
Very simple, except for that one little stretch of... technology where things all of a sudden got very complicated. you really had to pay attention all of a sudden. It's like, whoa, where'd this come from?
Yes. Okay. Oh my God, and look, we have 2 minutes left.
We did it
in under an hour.
I would suggest we don't give the next movie because every time we talk about the next movie, I end up having to edit it out before we post it because we change our minds.
Oh, okay.
So maybe just jump ahead and tell people how they can find us, Les.
You can find us on, we actually now have a new Facebook group, and so you can join it. It is called a Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast Group.
Yes.
And so feel free to join. And then, because what I'm eventually going to do is we have a Lifetime of Hallmark page, but what I think I'm eventually going to do is just merge them into one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett. And by the way, before I go, My next performance is going to be in Indianapolis at the Indy Fringe, and Kurt Fitzpatrick's going to be there too.
Yes.
And so that starts the week of August 11th. So
2019.
Go to indiefringe.com about that as well. Jason?
You can find all of us on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason. Kurt?
The refurbished computer I bought broke, so I have not been up on the social media as I want to be, but I'm still at campusmartiusTV.com. You can watch my TV pilot. And thanks for everybody for looking at my fan page on Facebook. I just haven't added anything, but I will.
And, you know, we always love reviews, so please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because I've got to remind myself it's no longer iTunes, it's Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
Now. So on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or Podbean. Anything else?
I think that's it. We did it.
All right. Well,
this was tight.
I got to run to my panel, but I will talk to you guys next week, and I'll actually be in Los Angeles. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.